Good morning. Let me welcome you again to Ironworks. As Chrissy was saying, the first Sunday of the month, we do what we call Doodle Sunday. So I'd like to extend a warm welcome to all the kids who are in with us today. A couple of just items on that before we get into our scripture, and that's this. Kids, can I have your attention? All kids in the room, if you could look up towards me. Right? So if you come to Ironworks normally, we have these rules. Who remembers the rules in Children's Church? All right, over here. What are the rules? We look up, right? We sit up. We put up, and we zip up, right? So those rules are in effect here in the this worship place as well. We're really happy to have you guys. And I'm going to read this scripture. This is actually God speaking here as we read these words. This is not my words. I didn't come up with them. These are actually God's words. So I want you to listen with special attention, and then I'm going to tell you what's going to happen next. So without further ado, let me invite everyone to turn to page 4 in our worship guides, the adult worship guides, as I read this scripture. At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe, because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these are you going to stone me?" The Jews answered him, "It is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, you are gods'? If you called them gods to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming, because I said, I am the Son of God'? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father." Again they sought to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. He went away again across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing at first. And there he remained, and many came to him. And they said, "John did no sign, but everything that John said about this man was true." And many believed in him there. This is the word of the Lord. All right. Well, let me welcome you again to worship here at Ironworks. A little bit of introduction. We have been in this sermon series on the Gospel of John called Finding Life. We've been in this since September. We're expecting to conclude somewhere around May. And the purpose for which John writes, he says, "I write these things, everything in my letter, I write these things that you would believe in the name of Jesus Christ, and as you believe in him, that you would have life in his name." And that's my mission in planting this church. You ask, you know, how is it that we seek to serve Phoenixville? You know, what does that look like? And the answer is this. We seek to serve Phoenixville in part by proclaiming this one whom the scripture says, if you know him, if you believe in him, that you will have life in greater measure than you ever had before. And that's our mission this morning. That's John's mission in the passage. And I'd like to get into it with you. Now, before I do, I have a question for the kids. All right, kids, this is a really tricky question, so I need your full attention. How many of you kids have ever heard of a place called IKEA? Have you guys ever been to this faraway land called IKEA? How many of your parents have heard about IKEA? Who here is broke because of IKEA? So our family enjoys going to IKEA just for recreational purposes. And one of the things that happens when we go there, I don't know if this has ever happened to any of you kids, is that we have four children, and we tend to lose them. And we have to go looking for them, and the store is absolutely expansive, and in the midst of all sorts of particle board, there are many spaces for children to hide and to do other things like that. And so what we do is we walk around, and I'm carrying the baby, and I've got, you know, an older one with me, and I say, Eva! Eva! How many of you kids have ever heard your parents calling out your name in a store like that? Right? And when, oddly enough, when I call out the name of my kids, they run to me. Sometimes the store assistant will notice what we're doing and they'll be very concerned and they'll start walking around looking as well. But for some odd reason, our kids don't respond to the store staff as much as they do to our voice. So kids, what I want to do right now is we're going to have some folks calling your name. I want you to try and figure out if you can recognize these voices. Ready?
Hey kids, I am the shepherd. Obey the rules and follow me. Listen to me.
Does anyone know that voice? No? What about another voice?
Hey kids, I am the shepherd. Obey the rules and follow me. Listen to me.
Anyone know that voice? Oh, one person does. What about one more voice? Do we have any other voices out there in the wilderness?
Hey kids, I am the shepherd. Obey the rules and follow me.
Listen to me. I don't know about that voice. I'd be a little scared of that one. And are there any other voices shouting in the cosmos?
Hello, kids.
Here?
I am the shepherd. I am your teacher. I want you to obey the rules. I want you to put up, sit up, look up, listen up, and zip up.
Oh, I see.
You to follow my instruction and listen to me. If you know my voice, stand up.
If you know this voice, stand up. All right, lots of kids who have been here before.
If you know my voice, come to the door, and the rest of the children who don't know my voice can follow.
All right, all the kids are going to go out. So we'll come back to that in a minute. That will prove helpful, I think. And the kids will be going out for an activity, and we'll be coming in a little bit. So as we come to this passage, I want to help set it up for you in this way. You see, the world in which we live is a world that I think many of you, and I know I certainly feel this, our world feels like it's out of control, doesn't it? So last week, we looked at this passage that presented Jesus Christ as our shepherd. And we talked about the shepherd's role as herding the sheep, keeping them together, keeping them from going astray, protecting them, giving them what they need, and ultimately seeking to accomplish this purpose of giving them life. And as you think about that, you might have, like I do, this thought that says, well, how does that work in our lives in a world that seems so incredibly out of control? So I preached a sermon months ago that I think is probably my most popular sermon ever, and it was a sermon on anxiety. And what I found as I've preached this not only at Ironworks, at some other churches as well, is that more than any other sermon I've ever preached, this is the one that seems to resonate with folks the most in broad strokes, right? And I think it points to the fact that we live in a world where we seem to always have to contend with being worried about whether things are going to go well, right? So even just this week, on Thursday, I had an interesting experience. I had, I do work bills, and I had a client call me up, and she was late. She was going to be late to work with me in the morning. She said, I had to go to a funeral for a 7-year-old boy. And Darren, tell me, why would God want the 7-year-old boy to have this funeral? I don't understand that. Tell me this. I then came to this building to do something for church, and as I did, I ran into a coworker here who works for the events company, and he pulled me aside and he said, you know, I just had this funeral this week, and it's been, you know, he said, I go to plenty of funerals, but this one was really hard. I don't understand why God would do this. And I wonder what's going on in your lives right now. I know that, you know, as I get into ministry, I know that some of you, perhaps all of you, deal with things that are very hard and very difficult. And on one level, anxiety would seem so justified as you contend with them. And I wonder if you have felt this way, or perhaps are feeling, that our world seems out of control. It seems, as we say for our kids and their worship guide, like a world without a shepherd. Well, if you're feeling that way, I want to encourage you that I think John is writing to address that. You see, to understand the Gospel of John, understand this. John is writing to a group of Christians who are attempting to serve and minister to their community after Jesus has gone into heaven. This is when he's writing. And many of these Christians, in order to fulfill the calling that God has on their lives, they have to suffer some of the hardest things. The culture at that time was not at all friendly to Christianity. They were absolutely brutal. So some of them were getting arrested. Some of them were even getting executed, all because they took on this name of a Christian, or one who belongs to Christ. And what John is doing is, I think, in this passage, is he's attempting to encourage them and give them what they need to have if they're going to keep on this task. So what's happening is Jesus is continuing to teach and preach. And as we've looked at in similar passages, the conflict that he has with those in charge at the time is really escalating. So you notice, for example, in verse 31, it says, "The Jews picked up stones again to stone him." This was not their first attempt at being stoned. How many of you have had multiple attempts on your life? Right? This was par for the course for the one who was called Christ. And you'll notice again in verse 39, that same word crops up there. It says, again, they sought to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. What's happening in John's letter is that Jesus is being portrayed as increasingly having to kind of outmaneuver his opponents for his own life. And notice this language here. I want to give you a little bit of insight onto this language. Verse 24, it says, "So the Jews gathered around him." You know, and that kind of has the idea of when you're out and you're selling something on the street and people find it interesting. You know, I used to live in New York, and sometimes folks would gather a crowd. And it's, "Oh, that's nice. People are gathering. How wonderful." Well, the word is actually encircled. It's actually, getting at the idea of, you know, when adversaries want to come in and corner you and give you no route for escape. So I used to live with a fellow who had some experience in the military as a contractor, doing some things that I don't feel comfortable speaking of in this worship service. Every time we would go somewhere, he would check his car. He would kind of look for exits. He would never want to be encircled, right? Maybe some of you feel that way. I, you know, occasionally run into someone and we'll go to meet someone and they'll say, "Can we sit over here? Because I want to have a view of all the exits." No problem. If you feel that way, I'd be happy to accommodate that. But that's what was happening to Jesus. The Jews are gathering around him, and they're not gathering around him simply to ask questions. They are out for his blood. And if you know the story, as many of you do, you know that one day they will accomplish their task. And so this is the world that Jesus lived in. This is the world that he ministered in. And the question this text is raising for John's original readers and for each of you today as you contend with the things in your life that seem out of your control is this: do you really have a shepherd who is in control? Is he good? And what is he up to? So let's try to answer that. Point number one is we're calling it secure with a shepherd. And for you parents, when your kids come back in, you'll notice that their worship guide has these questions and it has some things for them to draw. My wife has not yet read my mind to know where we're at, so she'll bring the kids in at some point, I'm sure. We're still working on that issue in our marriage. So what's happening is that Jesus is largely having a discussion with his opponents. And what I found puzzling about it at first is that Jesus appears to be talking to his adversaries about people who are not them. So notice how the conversation goes. He says, "You do not believe because you are not among my sheep," verse 26. But then he goes on to talk about his sheep, and it begs the question, well, if these folks aren't them, why do they need to hear? And I think the answer is because John is writing to people who are his sheep. And look at what he has to say. For those of you here who know him in this way, He says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." So the first thing Jesus says is that my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. So I have a client who just laid off about 75% of its IT staff this week. You know, and I was hearing from one person who had gone through that, and he was talking about how painful it was and how it was so shocking. And there was one fellow, though, who didn't get laid off. And I said, "Well, why didn't this fellow get laid off?" And he said, "Well, the reason he didn't get laid off is because he knew someone really high up, and that person protected him." And if you've been in the corporate world, you understand how big of a deal that is, right? Sometimes whether or not you have a job is not about your skill. It's not about what you bring to the table. It's about who you know. And what Jesus is saying here is he's saying, I and the Father control every resource on the planet. We have the final authority on everything that happens in this world. And there are people whom I know who hear my voice, and I know them. And what he's saying is this. He's saying, I know you not simply as like, I'm aware of you. Oh, yeah, there's Darren. You know, I've heard of him. What he's saying is, no, I know you as in I know you personally, that you matter to me personally, that what happens to you affects me in some way. How many of you are affected by the things that happen to people you love, right? Something happens to a friend of yours or family member of yours, and you can't sleep at night because you're affected by it. What Jesus is saying is he's saying, there are a group of people called my sheep, and this is true for me of their lives, that I know them. And then he goes on to say, and we were trying to illustrate this with the kids, he's saying, they listen to my voice and they follow me. We'll get into that in a short time. But the next promise he says is this. He says, I will give them eternal life and they will never perish. Now, I want to help you understand what is being said here. This word perish is not a word we use in the way that Jesus is using it all the time, in this time. When's the last time you used the word perish? Right? One of the kids has a time there. Maybe the kids learned it in a song while they were away. Well, one of the ways that I talk about it is, you know, this food is perishable. What happens to food that's perishable? Well, if you don't consume it in a certain amount of time or keep it at the right temperature, you know, it basically becomes unedible. It becomes, it withers, it becomes smelly. It's basically death is setting in, and it's no longer good, right? And what Jesus is saying is that my sheep, those who hear my voice, those who I know personally, he says, they will never perish. Now, you're thinking, you know, how does this fit in with the idea of funerals and the idea that one day I will have a funeral, probably? Well, let me read to you Luke 21, verses 16b and 18a. He says, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he's saying, some of you whom I love, whom I know, whom I protect, some of you they will put to death. Tells them that. And he says, you will be, not only that, not only will you die, you will be hated by all men for my name's sake. So you'll be hated, and you'll die. That's his words of encouragement to his followers. And then he says this. He says, but not a hair of your head will perish. Now you answer that for me. Some of you they will kill. All of you will be hated, but not a hair of your head will perish. How's that work? Right? I think the only answer is that Jesus is saying, what matters the most in your lives is not your time here on earth. Jesus is saying, if you could have a glimpse of what your existence will be 21 million years from now, and the position you will have worshiping me, drinking in my glory, having all of your sin, all of your shame taken away, seeing what enjoyment awaits from you, if you could have that view, you would understand that this 70 or 80 years you have here is the preface. It's the preface to the book. It's important, but it's only the preface. And what he's saying is this. He's saying to you this here this morning is this. Some of you will have hard things happen into your life. Right? Some of you they will kill, he says to his disciples. Hope that's not true for any of us, although it might be. Some of you will have to be hated by the people you care about because of my name's sake in order to fulfill this mission. But friends, if you belong to this shepherd, not a hair of your head will perish. One day you will have a perspective whereby you will understand these 70 or 80 or 20 years on this life is only but the preface, and you will understand that Jesus is doing things, had been doing things in this time for a reason that ultimately is very, very good. Now, let me welcome our kids back in. I need a volunteer from the kids, one who's really strong. Who of the kids is really strong? I got one standing up. Come on up here, bud. All right, just need one here. Hope I don't get embarrassed. We'll see. What's your name?
Julian.
Julian, welcome. So, Julian, what I want you to do is I want you to try to take this thing. What is this? Scarf. I want you to take this scarf away from me. Can you try to get it away? Right? And, he's trying really hard. And I don't even lift weights with Josh, even though he's trying to get me to start. So, good job, Julian. Everyone give him a hand. All right? So, you know, this is a little old me, right? And what was happening is he was not able to snatch the scarf out of my hand. So, kids, what Jesus is saying in this passage, and adults as well, is that not only does Jesus protect you, not only does he lead and guide you, but he says no one will ever be able to snatch you out of my hand. Just like Julian wasn't able to snatch the scarf out of my hand, what Jesus is saying is that no one will ever be able to snatch you out of his hand. We have this question for the kids. Listen up, kids. He says in your worship guide, can I know for sure that I can live forever and be happy and safe with God? And the answer is yes. If I belong to God, nothing can take me away from him. It's like being held tightly in his hand forever and ever. So kids, what I want you to do is I want you to trace your hand, and then I want you to draw a sheep inside the hand and draw a big smile on that sheep's face because the sheep is very, very happy where he or she is. So friends, the first answer to this question of what is the shepherd doing in the world is this. The shepherd is always looking out for the sheep. He's always leading the sheep. And he's always protecting the sheep. Sometimes, however, in order to protect the sheep, really hard things might happen in this span of time that we call the preface. But ultimately, he is always up to something very, very, very good. So that's secure in the shepherd. Now, I do want to address this question that maybe you might have noticed in the passage. We talked about how Jesus is largely talking about those who are his sheep, and he would be doing that to write to John's readers saying, understand that though some of you will go through really hard things, he's with you, he's protecting you, he's good. But then what about those, perhaps some of you here this morning might feel this way, who are not his sheep? This would be Jesus' immediate hearers. He said, you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And what he's saying is, you know, and this is true in IKEA. When I go to IKEA and I call out for Eva for like the 20th time, actually, she just follows the other kids. It's really the older kids I have to call out for, to be more accurate, because they have less fear. So they go explore the wine place, they call it, beginning to learn their spots. But when I call out their names, there's all sorts of kids that just ignore me. Just like, who's that guy? What's he up to? Let's go back and play, right? Because they don't know my voice. They would have no reason to follow me, just like these kids had no reason to, you know, listen to those kind of strange voices. They listened to the voice that they knew. And what Jesus is saying is this. He's saying, underneath of belief is something that exists prior. So he's saying, if you believe in Jesus, this is what he's saying, it's because prior to believing, you had some connection with God that cannot be explained, right? He's saying, if you follow me, you do so because you already know my voice. And friends, this is one of Scripture's most difficult mysteries, right? So we talk about becoming a Christian, and I'll even say this to you this morning, if you're not a Christian, if you are not a Christian, you're here, really, really happy to have you, really thankful for you giving this this stuff a hearing. And perhaps you might make a decision this morning that says, I want to follow Jesus. And that would be wonderful. We would celebrate that. But what Scripture presents is that for those of you who make that decision this morning and you say, I'm going to follow Jesus, it's like you walk through a door. And when you walk through the door, you turn around and you see written on the top of the door, only those whom the Father was pursuing have come in this door. And what you find, what Christians find, we share the stories at our membership class, which is that as we look back on our lives, what we see is God was pursuing us. That our belief did not just appear one day, but was the overflow of God's work in our lives. I love Psalm 23. How many of you kids know Psalm 23? Right? Wonderful verse about the shepherd. At the end of it, he says this. It says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Right? Well, this word follow in the original language actually has the force of pursue. Surely goodness and mercy will pursue me all the days of my life. And what the verse is getting at is this, is that what do sheep do? Sheep go astray. What does the shepherd do when his sheep go astray? Answer, he pursues them. He doesn't let them wander. He's involved in their lives. And if you become a Christian today, or perhaps in some other point in the future, what you will find at some point is you will look back on your lives and you're saying, from the earliest I can remember, God was at work. Now, friends, why does that matter? Why does it matter if that's true? Here's one reason. If your faith is based on your decision to believe, then you can lose your faith. Right? We are fickle people. We are weak people. We fail all the time. But if your faith in God, your belief in Jesus Christ rests on Him, on His pursuit of you, and is secure because of what He's done, then no one can ever take that away from you. No one can ever snatch you out of His hand. You are yours, you are His, and you are His permanently. Can you rest in that this morning? Just like the Julian couldn't wrestle this scarf out of my hand. Jesus says, no one can wrestle you out of my hands because I have known you from before you were born. I love Psalm 139. It says, your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book was written every one of my days. Before you were even born, Jesus knew you and has been working in your life. And one day, if he hasn't already, will bring you to the place where you believe in Him and you trust in Him. Maybe that day is today. Maybe you hear these words and something inside of you is saying, you know what? It makes sense. Could that not be this one right here saying, it's time, come, you recognize me? Maybe that's happening for you. And if it's already happened for you, perhaps the question is this, are you following Him? Right? My sheep hear my voice, they hear Scripture. And what do? They follow me. Right? So we read in Scripture all sorts of direction for how Jesus asks us to live, what kind of decisions He asks us to make. Sometimes those decisions are pretty hard. I would like to imagine that if Jesus said to me today, said, Darren, you're going to have to be put to death for my name's sake, or you're going to be hated by the people you care most about. Would I follow Him in that? Jesus says, my sheep follow me. So some of you do believe, and some of you know that Jesus has asked things of you that to you are incredibly hard, and you're resisting. Let me urge you this morning, lay down the arms of resistance and follow Him and find what He is doing in your life, because Scripture assures you that it is really, really good. One of the songs we sing on occasion, or I would like us to sing on occasion, Rebecca, is... 'Tis not that I didst choose thee, for Lord, that could not be. This heart would still refuse thee had thou not chosen me. It's a wonderful old hymn. And that is the cry of a Christian. A Christian says, you know what? I would never have come to you lest you worked in my life first. Thank the Lord that is true. So kids, what I would like you to do is I would like you to draw sheep. Are you listening, kids, guys? Right? Kids, what I want you to do is I want you to draw sheep, and what I want you to do is kind of make them look like elephants in one way. I want you to make them with really, really, really big ears. And what that's showing you is that these sheep listen for the voice of their shepherd. They're always waiting to hear His voice. They're always wondering what He has for them, what He's calling them to. And we have these questions. First question is, how do you know if you belong to God? I know God if I believe in Jesus, and if I follow him and listen to his voice. And then the second question, will I really hear God's voice? And the answer is not normally with our ears, but God speaks to us through his word, the Bible. So point number one, you are safe in the shepherd. Point number two, you belong to the shepherd because he has made you his own. And then point number three, the shepherd who was snatched. Now Jesus will end this dialogue here with something that, again, will reach into the depths of mystery. So Jesus is teaching about who he is, and he makes this statement that I hope you picked up on, verse 30. He says, or verse 29, says, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. He's talking about the Father giving Jesus sheep, and that you can't snatch the sheep out of the Father's hand. Now, if you were reading carefully, you would have noticed Jesus being a little bit schizophrenic, because he just said, verse 28, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Well, which hand are the sheep in? Are they in the Father's hand or in Jesus' hand? Which one? Right? You know? In Jesus' hand. Well, the answer is yes. They are in the Jesus' hand and the Father's hand. And Jesus explains this contradiction, apparent contradiction, by saying this. I and the Father are one. And if you have kind of any background with Jehovah's Witnesses, you'll understand that this is a passage they have a hard time with. So what Jesus is saying here is he's saying, I am God. And notice that the Jews at the time understood that perfectly. They pick up stones to stone him, and they say to him, verse 33, it is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. And what Jesus is doing here is he's not really rejecting that. He will basically stump them again with Scripture. He'll say, well, go read this passage and come back to me later. He will go stump them with Scripture, but he will never deny the charge. And friends, I want to bring this up with you this morning as we look to close here in a moment. Jesus never denies the charge of being God. He's charged with that repeatedly in John. Not only does he not deny it, he affirms it and he accepts worship. And friends, I want to help you see what's happening here. You see, the Jews at this time, they understood that if Jesus was God, that he ought to be put to death for saying things that are blasphemous. Other people heard these same things, and they responded by worshiping Jesus. And friends, I want to tell you something this morning, and this is really important, by the way, kids and adults. Those are the only two reasonable choices in life. You will either do one of two things. Either you will believe that Jesus was a very dangerous man who really ought to have no influence in your life, it's tragic that he ever got as popular as he got, because he should have been stoned, because he was crazy and he was out of his mind. Either that's true, or he's God and he is entitled to your worship and everything you are and everything you have. If you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, well, I'm just kind of indifferent to the whole thing, you are not listening. You see, David Koresh, right, was someone who had a lot of followers and claimed to be a prophet of God. Don't think you really need to worry about him. He didn't really gather much following, right? He had a few folks down in Waco. But Jesus Christ has captured the world by storm. And his statement on this page right here is, I am one with the Father. I am God. I control the universe. And when someone of his influence makes that statement, you have to pay attention to it. You might reject it. Maybe you're here this morning and you're considering things and you say, I just reject that. Well, that is a reasonable choice. What is unreasonable is to say, I'm indifferent to it. So if you're here this morning and you're saying, I just want to go to have lunch, I want to just get over this, Darren, will you stop? Do not move on from this too quickly. These words right here are coming either from a crazy lunatic, or they are coming from the mouth of God himself. And therefore, he is entitled to your worship. He's entitled to everything that you have. And he calls you to follow him. Are you listening this morning? Friends, I mentioned earlier that our world seems out of control. And then I followed it up by saying that sometimes that Jesus will ask you to do things that are very, very difficult and very, very painful, right? Some of you, they will put to death. Others of you will be hated. not a hair of your head will perish. Friends, I realize that as I say that, and I'm just repeating what Jesus said, that that seems absolutely outrageous, right? It seems outrageous that you would follow someone who would tell you to do things that are incredibly painful, that are incredibly difficult. Well, friends, I want to tell you in closing that I believe you can trust this one right here. You'll notice that Jesus says, no one can snatch you out of my hand. And what he's saying is, I'm the shepherd. I'm the one who protects my sheep. Always protect my sheep. Always keep them away from harm. How does he do that? How does a shepherd protect his sheep all the time? How did Jesus protect his sheep? Anyone know? The only way that Jesus would ever protect his sheep from death is by giving over himself to that sentence. Right? So why is it important that Jesus is God? Why is it important here that these words are for us today, if we're going to trust him? Answer, because we need to know that our shepherd loves us to the point that he would lay down his life for the sheep. And he would do that willingly. He says, no one can snatch you out of my hand, and yet that's only true in this world because Jesus allowed himself to be snatched. And friends, we're going to turn to the table in just a minute. Before we do, kids, I have one last item for you to draw. Kids, are you listening? Guys? Right? I want you to draw one last thing. I want you to draw a big cross at the top of your paper, and then I want you to draw sheep who are happy under that cross. And the question for us this morning is this: how do I know that I can be safe forever with God? And the answer is, Jesus let himself be snatched away, and he died for his sheep so that I can never be snatched away from God. Wherever you are this morning on your spiritual journey, could you listen and consider, is God calling my name? Is he speaking to me in Scripture? Is he saying, I am your shepherd, follow me, and I will give you eternal life, and you will never perish, and I will give you life abundant? Let's pray and consider that. Father in heaven, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, and we thank you for this time that we enjoyed receiving his words this morning. Lord, I pray for each and every one, from the smallest to the greatest here this morning, that each and every one of us would hear your voice. Perhaps this would be the day where we look back and see this as a decision point in our lives, where we see that you were calling us, that even before we were born, you knew us, and we recognize your voice. And today is a point of great significance because we understand, perhaps for the first time, that we belong to you and that you're calling us to follow you and trust in you with faith. And Lord, perhaps others of us here had that day happen quite some time ago, but today will be a time of renewal, where we are renewed in our understanding that you are so trustworthy and we can trust you and follow you wherever you call us, even in the most difficult of situations. And Lord, I pray that you would give us the grace to do that with joy. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.